Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring. We're broadcasting to you live via recording from the bottom of Lake Michigan.
Bloop, 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 bloop. You guys, these fish down here are weird.
My name is Scuba Ben, and I'm your host of the podcast, Magic the Amateuring.
My name's Angelfish Maria. I swim around, and my name's Angelfish. I don't do much, but I look kind of cute.
My name's Mermaid Megan. You can debate whether or not I'm real.
Guys, I just went to an aquarium in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I was there.
Did you know the lionfish is an invasive fish species?
Because nothing eats it.
Invasive or and evasive?
It's invasive.
Invasive.
Oh, God.
Although it might also be evasive. I don't know. I've never tried to catch one.
You know what's the cutest fish? Pufferfish. Straight up.
That one is not puffed.
I agree. I want a pufferfish real bad, but I don't get one because I would just be making it mad all the time because I want it to puff.
Puffer fish. I barely even know her fish.
Hey, guys. This is a podcast about Magic the Amateuring. Surprise!
About Magic the Gathering.
Surprise! Double surprise.
Double surprise.
Megan and I are new to the game, and we've been playing for about a year and a half, and our good friend Ben taught us how, and now we're deep in a pit of knowledge and power.
And addiction.
Yes, that's right.
Also, cards. This pit is full of cards.
Could you build a house out of only Magic the Gathering cards?
I mean, your answer within one paragraph.
Okay.
Go.
I'm sure you could, but should you?
That was not the question.
I answered your question with a responding question.
I would just not build it out of instants. That's all.
Sorceries?
No, I'd stick to permanence.
Oh, snap.
Hey guys, we've got a great show for you coming up. We're going to talk about mid-range decks. This is the next in our series of deck explanations. We're going to talk about mid-range. Megan's evaluated a bunch of cards, namely all the cards in Journey into Nyx.
A bunch of cards, mostly all of them.
And we're going to talk about those evaluations, plus what to do when you're losing a game, and some flavor text theater for you.
Maria.
Hey, Ben.
These sound like the ingredients to an objectively great episode.
Thank you, Betty Crocker's cookbook.
I wonder if we'll forget to take it out of the oven. And as a result, it'll end up burnt.
Just like my Subway sandwich. I wanted it grilled, not blackened.
Hey, you guys, before we start our episode, we've got some really exciting news to share with you.
Special exciting news. If you have eyeballs, sorry to our listeners that don't have eyeballs.
I'm sure we don't have any listeners without eyeballs.
That's true. Even our blind listeners probably have eyeballs.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. So if you guys like listening to the show, you can now see our faces on the internet. I mean, mm-hmm. You could if you Googled us before, but now you can see them in motion in videos about magic.
About magic? What does that mean? I'm confused.
Okay, so we decided to create a comedy series called My Roommate is a Planeswalker.
I don't remember being part of this decision.
You're in it, Ben, so...
Oh, right, but I didn't decide to be in it. Just showed up at my house.
I think you showed up at my house. Regardless, you can go to our website, magicthamaturing.com, and we have a series that's going to come out. We're going to put out an episode a week for a while. In the series, My Roommate is a Planeswalker, where we each play a planeswalker in everyday life. So I hope you guys enjoy it out there. Leave some comments on our videos if you like them.
I play Soren Markov.
No, you don't. To find out who Ben plays, go to magicthamaturing.com and check out our video.
I play Vorkin Soul.
Nope. That's, again, wrong.
I play Saul Varkov.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I play Nisa.
Nope. Mm-mm. You don't. You sure don't.
I don't.
But I do play a sigiled starfish.
What? You do?
Nope.
No,
I
you don't.
I really don't. So if you like laughs and you like magic, which I hope that's true if you're here in the first place, check them out. Putting up one a week for a while. It should be a real fun time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it won't take up a lot of your day.
No, it won't. It'll take up about tops 3 minutes of your day.
Tops 3 minutes. And that's
tops
if you're playing on slow motion.
I mean, most of the time it's going to take up about 1 minute 30 seconds of your day.
Yeah.
If you're on dial-up, it might take 5 minutes total.
Why are you on dial-up?
I mean,
because you're my mom.
Yeah, if you're Maria's mom. Hi, Maria's mom. Thanks for listening.
Hi, mom.
for the noobs. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got some such noobs.
Let me wheel out the noob.
Oh, hey, noob.
Hey, noob. I'm gonna snip the zip ties so you can get off the cart.
Oh, thank God. I'm hungry. Can I eat something?
Hey, just shut up. You're here to listen and learn, noob.
No, I feel like I haven't eaten in 3 days.
Hey, noob. Noob, shut up. You're here to listen and learn.
No. Okay, noob. Stand in that standard corner. We're gonna talk to you.
Okay. I can't roll if I can stand.
Just stand in it.
Can I have some water?
Hey, how's that corner, noob?
I want human contact. Babies need to grow.
Maybe win some games, and then we'll give you human contact.
What do I need to know this week?
This week, noob, we're going to tell you about mid-range decks.
What are those?
those are decks which are neither super aggressive, meaning that they're trying to deal 20 damage just as fast as they freaking can, and they're not control decks, which aren't really super concerned about when they're winning the game. They're super concerned about making sure they're in control of it.
Oh.
So, mid-range...
I think I can see fire.
Mid-range decks
red.
Mid-range decks fall kind of in the middle. You're killing some creatures. You're playing some creatures of your own. Maybe you're trying to eke out some card advantage.
You're just being normal. That's what you're trying to tell
me. Yeah, you're just being a normal dude.
Just a normal deck.
Just a normal dude or chick. Just playing some magic.
Oh, and so you... What, you just play good cards?
Yeah, you better play good cards.
So you don't play like 2 sixes?
What does that even mean?
You wouldn't play 2 six in this deck because you want stuff that can attack and block.
Oh, yes. So, yeah.
That seems straightforward.
I mean, for the most part, it is. I feel like a lot of draft decks kind of naturally fall into being more mid-rangey. Again, unless you're on purpose making your deck super aggressive or super controlling, it kind of will just naturally end up somewhere in the middle. Like, blue-green is a pretty strong archetype in Theros right now, and that's a very mid-range deck. Like, hopefully maybe you have, like, some Sigiled Starfish to kind of, you know, set up your draws, and then you're...
Ravenous Lucrocota.
Exactly. And then you're playing some, you know, some green fatties at 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Nice curve. There's a nice curve usually.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have... In green-blue, it's a little more difficult because green-blue doesn't have a ton of access to bounce spell. Or not... Oh, that's what they have. They don't have a ton of access to kill spells. In green, maybe you'll get, like, some time to feeds or something
bounce
like that.
Bounce or fight.
Yeah, so you'll either have bounce or fight. But, you know, like, black is in a lot of mid-range decks because it has a lot of kill spells. So you can just be like, kill this creature, play my creature, attack you a little bit.
So you're telling me that if my deck's not super ultra aggro or super ultra control, I just made a run-of-the-mill mid-range pile?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
All right. Let's do this. Megan.
Yeah.
I'm going to say some things.
Okay.
You make sound effects based on whether that thing belongs in a mid-range deck or don't belong in a mid-range deck.
Sounds good. I have some sound effects ready.
What's my job, Ben?
Your job is to...
You need to take care of that noob in the corner.
Yeah, your job.
He's in real bad shape.
Your job is to feed the noob and sponge
him. I'm going to slap him.
All right.
Okay, you can slap him too.
So, efficient creatures.
Ding!
Removal spells.
Woof, woof, woof!
One drops.
Wait. Hold on. What was the woof? Rawr. Yes or no?
The woof was a yes. That was a happy dog. Can you tell?
Oh, God.
In the quality of the woof?
I thought there were going to be 2 sound effects.
No, there's several.
Okay.
Lands.
Woof.
Okay.
Do nothing, 6 mana enchantments.
Woof. So that was an angry dog. That's an angry dog saying,
this is
like,
impossible
no.
to keep
up with. So clear.
Like, so clear. No. Grr, get away from my mid-range house.
Mana accelerants.
Yeah, yay. Ding.
That was a dog that learned how to talk.
Woof.
How about 6 mana removal spells?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Evasive creatures.
Woof.
Defenders.
Uh,
counter spells. Font of ire.
Never. Never.
Okay. All right. Got an idea.
Yeah, sure. I hope I have those sound effects real clear to everybody. And remember, everyone, it's really important to know the difference between a dog that's barking in a friendly and positive manner and a dog that's barking in an angry and dangerous manner.
If you don't know that, maybe mid-range is not your biggest problem.
I think understanding dog safety is.
I took a dog safety course in college.
Did you really?
No. Oh. It's not a thing.
I was really excited.
Dog safety.
Dog safety? What does that even mean?
I don't know. I finally learned how to swim in college.
Oh. What?
Okay, I could like swim before then, but I couldn't do any strokes. I could just basically like doggy paddle and do like underwater frog swim. And I learned how to actually swim in college.
Megan, you're telling me I could go back in time and drown you fairly easily?
Wait, are you telling me all of the swimming techniques you knew were from Super Mario Brothers 3?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, right?
I suppose growing up in Texas, you don't really have to know to swim.
Every lake is dry. It's just a dry pit.
You know, nobody swims in Texas. In the summer.
Growing up in Mexico, how are you going to get to Texas?
Oh.
What?
Ben.
Question.
What?
Through.
Constructed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Constructed mid-range decks are often, kind of what Ben said earlier, they tend to be like just very good cards.
So it's like green, white, good stuff.
Exactly. Like pick what are the best cards in the format. And if you look back at like Block Constructed, which just happened, the Journey into Next Pro Tour Block Constructed,
that kind of had a lot Sphinx, of Elspeth.
Yeah, that had a lot of kind of mid-rangey decks that were just interested in playing like what are the best cards in this format. Okay, Elspeth, Prognostic Sphinx, Courser of Kruphix. Like, let's make decks where we jam all those cards into them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and make our deck good that way.
So what is the weakness of the mid-range deck? No weakness? Jack of all trades?
It's Master a little
bit.
None.
I think you say that as a joke, but I think it a little bit is.
I said it as a reality.
Yeah, like
Maria is trying to tear down my love.
I mean, on the one hand, you could say like mid-range decks in the past have been very dominant, like the Jund deck that was very dominant before the rotation of Innistrad was mid-range. And that deck, you know, was a lot of people played it and it was very, very good. But at the same time, it kind of, mid-range decks right now can sometimes really fall prey to like the Sphinx's Revelation blue-white control decks.
So the weakness is?
Yeah.
Why is it prey to those decks?
So the way it works is, this is what I've heard about mid-range decks especially, is the nice thing about them in Constructed. Let me tell you what I heard about what mid-range decks did last weekend.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Is that they can sideboard really well. So your game one, I would say that one of the weaknesses is that your game one matchup is never ideal. You're going, like, if you go up against control, well, you do have a lot of kill spells in your deck, which pretty much just do nothing. And the same thing goes against like hyper aggressive decks. Like maybe you don't have a super strong game plan for that, but because you're playing usually three colors and it's, although that's not necessarily true with like black is kind of mid rangey. You really have a lot of access to fine tune your sideboard to make your deck better against those, you know, like against Black Devotion, which is kind of mid rangey against control. They bring in, you know, like Duresses and more Underworld Connections or Erebos, God of the Dead. So while their game one matchup isn't really favorable for them, games two and three really are.
So you're like, because all your cards are just so good in general, when you're sideboarding, you don't really have to worry like, uh-oh, what happens to my deck when I take out this key support beam?
Exactly. You're really just making your deck so much better in a matchup when you sideboard.
So it's more about maybe this removal spell doesn't have like a good specific target in the deck.
Yeah.
Or maybe removal spells in general are just no good because they don't have that many creatures.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. So would you say mid-range decks tend to be better against aggressive decks or better against controlling decks, or is it pretty even?
I would say I would give them, I would favorite them a little bit, I think, more in the aggressive matchup.
I agree.
At the, especially in game one.
Sure.
Than I would in the control. I think control can be a little bit rough in game one.
And I so my understanding of why this is, mm-hmm. is because the aggressive deck has a very fast plan, and the reason it can be control because it's going to get stuff online and has a chance to just take out the control player before they get set up and take over the game. But against an aggressive or against a mid-range deck, the mid-range deck is basically going to have a bunch of cards that are maybe all one turn slower than the aggressive deck, but also they're just all better quality.
Yeah.
So every card the aggro deck plays, the mid-range deck can just kind of answer the next turn. Mm-hmm. And then after they've traded off all these cards one for one, mm-hmm. then whatever they have left over is just like a really sweet four or five drop or something.
Yeah,
and then they
exactly.
just go to town.
Get it done. It's like if you were racing cars.
Yep,
you have your aggro deck, which is one of those drag racers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your control deck, which is like a stock car, uh-huh. stock car racing. And then you have mid-range, which is like what they drive in the Indy 500. What do they... I don't know. I'm going to call it an Indy 500 car. So if you're racing those three cars against them, well, the race is a little bit longer than the drag racer realizes. So they're going to be like, maybe right at the beginning, they'll be like, I'm faster than you, Indy 500 car. But once they start going around a turn, crap, they can't do that anymore. But the stock car is like... Oh, is this...
All I do is turn.
All I do is turn.
I can't go straight. Shut up, guys. I can't go straight.
It was a mediocre metaphor at best.
Did you guys know that if you just drive straight on a NASCAR track at 30 miles an hour, that you'll just keep going all the way around the track? That's how much they're banked.
Holy crap.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't even have to turn?
Yep. I do know that. Don't you have to be going at least a certain speed to make it around the curve?
Sure.
Like, otherwise your car will tip over? Is that a thing that happens?
I mean, how many canoes do you have piled on your car?
Like three.
Oh.
Megan, I feel like you don't need that many canoes. You're a canoe hoarder.
I'm just worried about, like, what happens if one canoe gets a hole in it.
Megan, then you patch the hole. I mean, you don't have to have a new canoe for every.
But what if I don't have time? I'm
There's
running
a hole
away.
In my canoe.
I'm running away, and
Megan,
I don't have time to patch
dear
it.
Megan, There's a hole in my canoe.
Oh my
dear
god.
Megan, a hole.
Well, anyone have any concluding thoughts on mid-range decks?
Yeah, they sound sweet. I'm gonna get one.
Yeah, they usually are pretty sweet. Like I said, Jund was very dominant back in its day. That was a very mid-rangey deck. And it's nice because they do offer you some really excellent sideboarding plans against different types of other strategies that you'll come up against.
What's mid-rangey red now and standard?
Black Devotion is mid-rangey.
BD.
Exactly. I kill some stuff. I play some, some pretty sweet creatures, some Desecration Demons, some Grey Merchants to give me some life, maybe some Pack Rats, Night Vale Spectres. And then I play my Underworld Connections, so I get some card advantage in the long run.
And, mid-range is just like you said, it's probably the most common type of draft deck,
mm-hmm.
Just by, the nature of making a draft deck. And it's nice to know that you have a mid-range deck, because sometimes it can be a little scary to play a really aggressive deck, or it can be scary to play a little bit of a control deck, because you're worried you might get run over, or you're worried you might not be able to make it, what was my metaphor?
Not be able to get around the curve on the track,
right?
Because you're
that's
not going
it.
Fast enough.
That's it.
Do you think mid-range decks are harder to play than control or aggro decks?
Because you don't have a set strategy that you're following.
Yeah, because when you wake up in the morning and you put on your mid-range deck
hat.
Pair of pants,
uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
hat and vest.
Gotcha.
And you're not wearing a shirt.
I'm really dressing.
BTW Ben is not wearing a shirt right now on this show.
It's really hot in Megan's room right now.
So hot in here, you guys.
Yeah. Well, you guys,
we're all
attic,
gonna be we're
so
gonna be puddles by the end of this episode.
Man, it's so hot in here. I'm gonna take off all my clothes if
Anyways.
We keep recording too long.
I think I think it can be more difficult because you don't have a set strategy, but at the same time, like we said, it tends to be a little bit of higher card quality mm-hmm. across the board, and that can really support you. Mm-hmm. You know, us, like, a couple months ago, some control decks were playing, like, three Elspeths, because it's like, oh, crap, if things are going down the tube, maybe I'll draw an Elspeth, and that'll fucking save me.
I think it's important when you're playing a mid-range deck, especially in a draft, you want to be very aware. Are you the more aggressive deck or the more controlling deck?
That's called identifying who the beatdown is.
Yeah, man, you gotta know who that beatdown is. Always ask to see the beatdown's identification.
Excuse me, sir, are you the beatdown?
If you're playing against an aggro deck, all you gotta do is take as little damage as possible, and everything mm-hmm. will probably work itself out.
You just need to not die right now.
Yep. Assuming you're not just like throwing cards away all over the place. If you're playing against a control deck, all you got, or a more controlling deck, all you gotta do is do as much damage as soon as you can.
So Megan sometimes gets bored at work.
Yeah, that's, don't we all though?
Yeah, we can all relate to this, Megan. Yeah. But you spend.
Although, just for the record, I didn't do this at work.
Oh. Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So we've got some evaluations of every single card in Journey into Nyx. You have grouped them yes. into good, the bad, and the ugly.
Pretty much.
In every color, by color.
I titled them like that, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Why did you do this?
I didn't.
I'm rustling these papers so the listeners can understand the level that you've gone to.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you...
So I'll explain... The doctor I'll explain would look the, at this. I'll explain the rating system really quickly.
I feel
quickly.
Like these should all be covering your wall.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And that, you know, a police detective should be looking over them, trying to figure out...
I should have, like, some strings, some, like, push pins and some strings tied around things.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so.
This is the evidence they'll look at when they're like, when did the decline start?
Oh, well,
this
right
is what
there.
Led.
They're in a grid system, so tell me about this grid system.
Okay, so the way it works is that there's a page for each color, and at the very top I just wrote down the rares, and I just gave the rares like a straight-up number ranking, like what's the number one best rare in this color, what's the worst rare in this color. You get the idea. And then from there I took the uncommons, and I divided all the uncommons into four categories, which was like premium uncommons, like really, really great. And I picked the number one best one for each one.
Okay.
Then good cards, which I'm happy to have in my deck. Filler cards, which I'll play, and they might even be role players sometimes. You know, a fine card to have in your deck.
Sure.
And then the last box, which is just like, don't play this. Maybe it's a sideboard card. Maybe it's a sideboard card. Maybe it has some sort of weird freaking home. But generally speaking, you're never going to play this card. And then I did the same thing with the commons.
Oh, so that's why there's in fours.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can scan these in and put them up on our website, magictheamateuring.com, so you can listen along and read along.
Tell you what, I will type them up in a document when I'm not at work tomorrow.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you learn something? Like, why did you do this? There's plenty of card evaluations out there on the internet that you can already read. Why did you do this for yourself?
I decided to do it, and it's after, you know, like, I do, like, I read LSV's card evaluations on Channel Fireball. Mm-hmm. I love listening to Limited Resources card evaluations.
Yeah.
But I realized that after all of that, at least for my brain, it really helps me if I sit down and I just do it for my freaking self. Taking into account all of the things that other people have said about the cards and my own experiences, because I found that when I was drafting, sometimes I wasn't stopping and thinking about that.
What was coming over you?
I don't know.
Impulse?
Some sort of brain haze.
Feeling like your gut feeling?
No, like I would look at two cards and I would just be like, oh, I really like this card. Mm. But then I was like, but wait, I should stop and think about, in the grand scheme of things, which one of these cards is actually just better? Because there's an answer most of the time.
So let's just take a look, for instance. Let's give the listeners a for instance at red here.
Yeah, ma'am.
Your number one card for a rare is Prophetic Flamespeaker.
Yeah.
And you have number two, Spawn of Thraxis.
Yeah.
Number three, Harnessed by Force.
Those might be incorrect.
Four, Twin Flame. I'm thinking they're wrong as I read through it.
Yeah.
Five, Eidolon of the Great Revel. Six, Dictate of the Twin Gods. Seven, Bearer of Heavens.
I don't think that the ones at the end. I think Harness by Force and Spawn need to be switched.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and I did these a couple weeks ago, so I reserve the right to say that my opinion has changed.
You were just a little guy then.
I was such a kid. I was such a kid back then, guys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I guess I would, you know, I mean, now that I look at this, I'm like, oh my God, there's not a lot of good red rares.
I know. And that's actually what's fascinating is that that was almost more interesting than deciding which cards were better than other cards was like looking at the overall grand scheme of things and just being like, well, shit, this color has a lot of like, don't play this cards.
Yeah, I mean, the only cards in here that I would, you know, first pick are Prophetic Flamespeaker and Harnessed by Force.
Yeah.
Maybe Spawn if there's nothing else.
Exactly, like Spawn if there's nothing else good.
But like I learned early on that Twin Flame's no good.
No.
You know, nobody wants Spear of the Heavens. Dictated the Twin Gods, like, what are you doing? And yep. Eidolon, I don't even want him in any kind of deck ever.
In anything ever.
Oh.
Sorry, Eidolon.
Sorry, buddy.
I bet you throw a great
maybe there's a mono red standard home for you somewhere, but
yeah,
but probably not.
Probably not, because all of those decks are casting things with three or less converted mana cost. So
yeah, and you have your top uncommon is Mogus's Warhound.
Yeah, I still feel pretty solid about that.
I believe that is correct.
That card is damn good. Sorry, as you're talking about this, it also so one more thing that I also wanted to think about was. I think that I'm very bad at reading signals. Yeah. So I was like,
we've been sending you a lot of signals.
Megan, haven't you got these signals we're laying down right now?
No.
Hey, Megan.
I am actively rejecting your signals.
Megan.
Quit wiggling your eyebrows.
Just take these signals.
No.
Megan.
No.
What do you think these signals mean?
Ben, put your tongue back in your mouth.
Megan.
You guys.
She's unbreakable. She's unbreakable.
Man. You guys.
We are both so charming, Megan. How
you're
can
both
you?
Very charming.
Just forcing not being seduced by us.
I really am. Really. I was bad at reading signals, and I was like, oh, if I have a better card evaluation system in my brain, then I'll be like, oh, shit, if I get a Mogus's Warhound third pick.
That's a signal.
Like, that's a signal, man.
It's only third pick, but it's probably good. Yeah.
But okay. If you're in red, you're fucking taking Mogus's Warhound.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
So it sounds like doing this exercise helped you just get your own pick order into your brain.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
If you can't make the decision in the abstract, then how can you trust yourself to do it when it comes down to the real thing?
Yeah, man. Exactly.
And then also,
how can you trust yourself to love when you meet the love of your life if you haven't evaluated everyone else that you know
in the entire world
based on the qualities that you find important?
Yeah, man. I've certainly ranked every potential lover I've ever met.
Good plan, buddy.
Your common here, number one common.
Do you want to know what I call that?
What?
That's my dick order list.
I don't get it.
Oh my God. This is my pick order list.
Oh. So we know what's on top of Ben's list.
Oh, wait.
Penis.
My prick order list.
Yeah, it's better.
Okay,
it's too late.
Better.
It's
too
late.
But you already said the other one, so.
It's too late.
Sorry, that's what it's going to show in the record hall.
Speaking of which, writing these down maybe also has helped you keep track of where you were wrong and where you might.
That is true. There are definitely cards that when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, no, I was very wrong.
Maybe there's, you know, an ex I need to get back together with.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also, one thing about the pick order list you can find online, if you don't understand why a certain card is above another card, then you might be missing out on something, potential uses for that card, or synergies, or which decks it belongs in. You might be missing out on one of those things that actually makes it better.
Yeah.
So unless you know the why... For you, like if you just are ignorant to a certain part of the card, well, it's not going to be as good for you because you don't know how to use it.
And it's really neat to see this at a glance, how many cards are good in the certain color and how many cards are not.
Because
red's looking mighty thin right here.
It really does. That's one of the things that I noticed when I was making that list. I'm like, oh, red is shit.
You've got Magma Spray as the number one common.
Yeah,
I still believe in that. Along with Blade Tusk Boar right up next to it.
Yep.
But to be honest with you, I'm going to pick Blade Tusk Spore before I pick Magma Spray.
Yeah, I I'm not 100% confident. Those are the only two red comments.
I mean, I could be very wrong, but because I think magma sprays go extremely late. Yeah. But I don't know.
I think the thing is that you want both of them a lot.
Yeah.
If you're drafting red, those are the two cards that you want out of your journey pack. But it's hard to say.
Do you guys want to know something about a deck I made today that had 5 Satyr Hoplites?
5.
5.
You guys, I won that draft. My first pick. Do you want to know what my first pick was?
What was your first pick?
Eros.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Seems pretty good, huh?
Sure.
It's fine.
How many hoplites did you have out at the same time?
The most was 3, probably.
How many did you put in your deck?
All of them.
Ben, look at who you're talking to.
Do you think that's dumb?
I don't know. What are your
How many ways did you have to target them? How many ways did you have to target them?
I don't know, like 9.
Did you ever magma spray one to give it counters?
No.
Okay.
I thought, you know, I was like, should I bring in this spark jolt? And then I was like, nah. Anyway, so yeah, head to our website, magicthyamateuring.com, and you can take a look at some of Megan's card evaluations.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to do another color, just like real quick? Which color would you prefer?
I'm trying to think of one that was difficult. Maybe blue?
I see Brain Maggot at the top of one of these lists.
Yeah. Mm. How do you feel about that, Ben?
We didn't talk about black.
So looks did not factor into this? It's more about personality of the card?
It really was about the personality of the card. If it was based on looks, Brain Maggot would be unplayable.
Maria, will you do one just on looks?
Absolutely. yeah, Silence of Believers, number one rare, obviously.
Obviously.
Oh, I think God, we had a little fight good. About this, I remember.
About which one?
You showed me this. And number 2, you have Dictate of Erebos. Number 3, King Makar. Number 4, Master of the Feast. 5, Doomwake Giant. 6, Extinguish All Hope. 7, Worst Fears. And I said that I thought Master of the Feast was better.
That one's actually hard because at least what I get out of that is that, like, when I was looking at that list, I was like, oh, shit, I would play numbers 1 through 6.
Yeah. That's
in the
true.
In the black rares. Yeah. I don't know that I would first pick Extinguish All Hope, but I would first pick all the way down to Doomwake Giant, man.
You can get Extinguished so late.
Also, the order don't really matter.
Yeah, that's
the order
true.
Of the rares does not really matter.
That was more of just like my own personal, like, is this a rare that I would actually first pick?
Technically, it does matter when they're, because there could be a foil rare in the pack, and then there would be 2 rares, and you'd have to choose between 2. But what are the odds that that'll happen, and they'll be in the same color?
That was just more about the playability and the quality of the cards.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, we talked about King Makar and Master of the Feast.
And I just said I would much rather have Master of the Feast than King Makar.
Oh.
How do you feel about that, Ben?
Yeah, I'll take them both.
Oh my God, is that noob dead in the corner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He lived to the end of the For the Noob segment, so don't worry about it.
Oh, God.
We're going to have to get a new noob.
Anyways, I remember blue being particularly hard because in commons, I couldn't decide, like, Warwing Siren or Sigiled Starfish.
Oh.
I think, personally, it's Sigiled Starfish.
I think most people would say Starfish.
Yeah.
Warwing.
But there are plenty. I put this one on our Twitter because it was so difficult for me to decide.
Most people said Starfish, I believe.
Yeah. There are quite a few, though, that said Warwing Siren. Hmm. So, I mean, the card is good, but I think it's Starfish. I think it just is.
And number one of all number ones is Hour of Need.
Oh, Hour of Need. Holy shit.
Yep.
Oh, the card is so good.
So good.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
You're all losers.
What?
We're all losers.
What?
It's just time we admit it to ourselves. We don't win all the time.
Maria.
So we're all sometimes losers.
I erase those memories. I have a Men in Black device, one of those device-y thingies.
Every time you lose, you just
Every time I lose, I erase the memory.
You must be erasing constantly because you're never going to learn.
Oh, snap.
Megan, no, don't erase what I just told you. I'm sorry. It was hurtful. Zip.
Hey, guys, what are we talking about?
Uh-oh.
Well, we do a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
We do?
Yeah.
Do I know how to play that?
Oh.
Oh, you're so good.
You went back too far. We went back too far.
You live in Minnesota.
Oh, when did that happen?
You're best friends with Tommy Lee Jones.
I am?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've heard he's a dick.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
What I'm trying to say is that we all lose games from time to time. And there's a good way to lose a game, and there is a bad way to lose a
but
game.
But you guys, I really have met Tommy Lee Jones twice in person.
Why?
Don't worry about it.
No, I'm worried.
He's from San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
That's all you need to know.
So you just everyone like walking down the
street? I just like ran into him.
At an ice cream parlor?
No, at a restaurant once, and then at like a... Then there was like a... My theater class got to like meet him and ask him questions once.
What did you, what ask, did you ask him?
I don't even remember dudes.
Was it, why are you such a dick?
Wait, you don't remember dudes?
Oh, she went back way too far.
Way too far. What are dudes? I don't remember what I asked him.
A dude is the alternative to a lady.
Oh, okay.
The word dude came from the song Dude Looks Like a Lady, written in the 80s.
Is that really where it came from?
No.
I didn't know you could be serious. I don't know.
It otherwise, comes from they ranching. Wouldn't
have. Otherwise, when the song came out, they'd be like, "What?
What
does that mean?
What the fuck does that mean? Dude looks like a lady."
Anyways,
so Ben was mad at me from my watching me do some stream. Ben is mad at me. He's harboring a horrible grudge against some of my streaming that I apparently I played and I knew I was gonna lose and I just fucking gave up. I gave up.
Yeah. Did you even realize you'd given up?
I think I do realize that I've given up, and I play and I continue to play very sloppily, I'm sure, just like whatever, because I was so resigned to my fate.
Right. And I would actually say if you like if you're at that point where you just don't think you're going to win at all and you're not even bothering to think through all your plays and what gives you the best chance to win, I would say just concede.
But what if I want to see more spells from my opponent?
I don't want anyone to get used to playing Magic where they're just like, I don't want there to be any situation where you're not playing, making the correct plays. You
guys,
know what I mean?
What is streaming?
Oh, God.
No, but for reals, I hear what you're saying because it's like you don't want to ever allow your mind to get into the mindset of like just playing.
It doesn't matter if I...
And not thinking about what you're doing.
Okay. I understand why. That makes a lot of sense. But, you know, sometimes it's real hard to do that when you feel like kind of crappy because you're losing. So I guess my question is, besides just putting good practices into my life, what are the benefits to me to playing out a match when I know I'm going to lose?
Okay, well, there's two things. One, if you make a game plan that centers around drawing a certain card or certain sequence of cards, and you actually draw them, it is fucking amazing. Okay. It's so good.
Example.
Say you've got, say you've got some spell. It's like, well, the only way I get out of this is if I... I draw my creature that makes tokens, so I get like 3 blockers. So for example, like in Momir, there's this 7 drop called the Hive Queen. Mm-hmm. And it's a 2/2 with death touch, and when it enters the battlefield, you get 4 1/1s with death touch.
Oh, they're reprinting that in M15.
They all have flying. Sure. So like that card, there are certain situations where it's like, okay, I only have 7 lands. My opponent has a million flyers that I can't block. The only way I win is if I get that 7 drop. And when it happens, you're like, yes, I did it, and I'm awesome, and I win. And that gives you an edge because maybe that only happens 1% of the time. But if that means you win that game 1% more often.
Like if 1 out of every 100 games you win when you didn't think you were going to, mm-hmm. like... That's like that ends like how many freaking games do we play in a month?
Yeah.
Like, that adds up to a tangible difference over your whole Magic career.
That adds up. And so if you are truly in a case where there's no way you can win, okay, then maybe it doesn't matter what you do, but don't get used to assuming that because there are a lot of games where it's not true. Mm-hmm. And there's always a possibility that your opponent will mess up. And if that is a possibility, then make your plan around that. think about, okay, what's the most likely way my opponent is going to mess up? And is there a way I can win if he does?
Right.
Sweet.
And there's a lot of times when people concede, I would say, you know, like I notice against me, when they didn't know that I was going to make an incorrect play the next turn.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, how do they know what was still mm-hmm. in my hand? They concede it far too early. And let me make the mistake or let me kill you. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah. Like play it out. Maybe you don't swing with everything that you should.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Never assume your opponent is a genius.
Yeah.
But also don't assume they're a real dum-dum.
Yeah.
just don't assume.
Yeah, man, don't assume you don't know me just because I'm wearing a shirt that says I'm a real dum-dum.
I remember.
Maybe I'm too stupid to even know what it says.
I remember.
Ben, you're not wearing a shirt at all.
That's true. Guys, it's so hot up here.
It really is. So that we went to a Born of the Gods PTQ a couple of months ago, and I just particularly remember this game. I was playing a girl who's playing like blue-white aggro.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing green-white aggro. So we were essentially just racing. And she had this Akroan Skyguard with like some crap on it that I could not get rid of. And she had been holding up mana for multiple turns. Where I was just like, shit, she's gonna target the Skyguard. And I'm just dead. And I was like seconds from conceding. I had a lethal swing back, but I was like, I'm dead to this Akroan Skyguard.
You were just so sure that's what she was gonna do.
I was so freaking sure. She had been holding up mana as if she had some sort of combat trick this whole time. And I was just like, well, shit, that does it. Like, she'll attack back. She'll hit it with a combat trick and I will just be dead because I can't block this flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I pass the turn and I don't concede. I'm just like, fine, like let's just fucking get this over with. And then she attacks me, like does nothing, like doesn't pump it. I go to like one and then on the swing back, I just hit her for lethal.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh,
uh-huh,
I did not see that one coming at all.
Yeah.
I very thoroughly believed for several turns. I was like, I have no answer to this Skyguard. She's been holding up mana. I am just dead to it.
It's like in medieval France, when the executioner's axe is above your head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't assume you're going to get decapitated because that could be your true love hiding inside the executioner's mask, just there to save you just in time.
Oh,
you know.
So Maria, I remember the specific game that you were streaming.
Oh,
I remember,
really?
I remember what you did that was so offensive to me.
Offensive?
It was. Whoa. It was truly offensive to me.
Holy crap!
Holy shit!
Ben was offended.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Get it out.
Here's what it was. You used some kind of removal spell, or no? You attacked into a like a 1/1 death toucher. And traded off some creature. And then post combat, you played Forgeboard Oreads.
All right.
Did one damage to your opponent's face.
I do remember this situation.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you that streaming is not easy.
It's
okay.
Not easy. It's not easy. But the reason you made that play is because you were thinking, well, I'm way behind in this game. I'm going to lose.
And yeah, that's true.
It doesn't really matter what I do. And because of that,
I was resigned.
You did not think through what your plays were.
Correct.
You're just like, well, I'll attack and then afterwards I'll think about what to do later.
Right.
Whereas if you had just before been like, okay, I have, you know, these two or three options, which one of those is best, you would have obviously seen, oh,
yeah,
it's clearly better to take the free card and do three damage with my attacker.
I remember this game because you called me. You called me during my stream.
Not offend
and I was
Ben.
Like, I was like, Ben, are you calling me to yell at me?
Here's the thing. When you get a free card like that off of an Enter the Battlefield effect, it's so good.
It's so sweet. It's just...
And so when that could happen and it doesn't happen,
uh-huh,
that I find offensive.
Lack of card advantage. Offensive.
Yeah.
Ben is not offended by much in this life.
Nope.
But that.
But giving up a free card? I just don't truck with that, Jazz.
Oh, man.
You truck with that jazz, Megan?
I don't truck with that jazz.
Yeah, I didn't think you trucked with that jazz.
I don't truck
okay,
with that
okay,
guys. Jazz.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes things get a little confused.
Don't be sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, just get don't even. Do it the next time. Oh.
You guys, just while we're having a second time about Enter the Battlefield effects.
Yeah. Mm.
I had a real proud moment like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I was playing Super Control. I drafted Super Control.
Oh, wow.
And my opponent was...
That's blue-red control because those are the colors of Superman's costume.
Oh, God damn it. No. But anyways, it was like blue-black. And I had two Grim Guardians.
That's more Batman control.
Yeah, it was Batman control. You're right. And my opponent was at 10 life, and I proceeded to kill him solely off of Grim Guardian triggers.
Mm. I love that.
Over like the next, it was over like 7 or 8 mm-hmm. turns of the game.
I did that too in a game.
I slowly fucking wheedled away.
I made a pact with myself. I was like, I will not attack for any damage. I just want to see if I can kill him with constellation triggers.
Nice.
It was a dangerous game.
There's a, my brain associates the Forgeborn Oread so tightly with one toughness creatures.
Yeah, that's probably true that mine doesn't.
You can't even deal damage to someone's face.
I can, but I can't look at that card in my hand.
And not know.
I can't look at a board with a one toughness creature and not want to play. You know what I mean?
Yes, I suppose Forgeborn to me is more associated with 4 points of damage on the nose.
Okay. Yep, sure.
Sorry. But second proud moment. I once bestowed a Baleful Eidolon on a Forgeborn Oread. You guys, it was so fucking sweet. Because it deals that point of damage, and it's a death touch damage now.
It's death touch damage.
Cool.
Oh, so good.
Cool.
That's juicy saucy.
So, Ben, how can I make this up to you? You're obviously still mad.
I just want you, every time you see a Forgeborn Oread, or every time you see anything that can deal damage when it enters the battlefield, I want you to like immediately look for a creature with that toughness on your opponent's board.
Got it. Will do.
When you draw that card, when you untap of that card, you're like scanning, beep, 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 beep. Target acquired.
So be a robot. Beep, beep, beep.
I want you to touch your nose with one hand and then touch the creature with the other hand, even if it's in paper.
No problem.
Flavortext Theater presents The Dating Game.
What?
The game in which two of us get creatures from a Journey into Nyx pack, and Megan doesn't know what we are, but she's going to ask us on a date and figure out who she wants to take out for a real good time.
Oh, snap. Here's the pack right here. So shiny.
Oh. By the way, have you seen the new packaging for M15?
What?
Yep.
Thoughts, Ben?
Looks real sweet.
Looks so nice.
What does it look like?
I'm going to line the inside of Megan's room with them.
Yeah, they're white. Wait, they're white and black and like a splash of color. They look really cool.
Yep.
Check them out on Wizards' website. The packaging is quite beautiful. All right, pass those suckers on over.
Oh, I have to pick one too.
Okay.
Right.
Ben, entertain the listeners.
All right,
welcome back to The Dating Game. This week on The Dating Game, we've got some saucy singles for you, and they're going to be dating. People are going to be dating them, and they're going to be dating each other. Let's get started. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
It's time to date.
Hey, guys. How's it going? My name's Greg. Don't worry about it. I got into the studio safely. I'm very safe. I'm very hungry. I'm hungry. If I was going to take you somewhere to eat on a date, where would you want to go?
Well, I would appreciate it if we went to the deepest reaches of the forest, for there I find the most nutrient for the body and for the soul.
Oh, you sound weird, but okay.
I'm a vegetarian.
Okay. Oh.
I only eat flowers.
Oh.
Just flowers.
Oh, that's cute. You sound real cute.
I'm so hungry all the time.
Oh, you're so cute. I'm hungry all the time, too. But I like to eat.
And I'm going to take you out for seafood.
Oh, there's a third contestant.
Oh, okay. Who's underwater? I've never been underwater. All right, I'll take all three of you out for some mutton sometime. It'll be real good.
I said I was a vegetarian, you fucker.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I eat one thing. All right. So when I'm just, you know, chilling on the weekend, I like to, you know, just terrorize peasants. I like to just terrorize, you know, the innocent people of the world. What do you like to do on the weekend?
I like to go into a wooded grove and just kind of dissipate into nothingness, into the air.
Weird.
I prefer to practice my eyesight and my dodging.
Oh, are you the underwater guy?
No.
Who are you? You're the first contestant. I thought you were girlier the first time around, but anyways.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Fortunately, that insult does not affect me because it has no valid targets.
I get it.
All right.
How about you, underwater guy?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I love to give back.
Give back to who?
He seems like a generous lover.
I just like to be a hero and give back to my opponents.
Oh, weird. I don't understand giving.
I like to give you a present. Every time you give me a shiny, sparkly thing, I'll give you something back.
Wait, what?
Every time you give me a shiny, sparkly thing, I'll give you a little something too, honey.
Oh, that sounds real sweet. I like you.
Yeah.
You seem nice.
Uh-huh. I'm so hungry.
Well, so I live in the hills. Basically, any cave I can find big enough to fit me.
Mm. Ferrigex giant.
I'm from Journey. I'm from Nyx. Oh. We've journeyed into Nyx, and that's where I am.
Whatever.
Where do you live? Wait, I feel like we talked about this.
It's going to be the same answer.
I know this.
I live in a tower.
So, Bastura Tower Archer.
Yeah, what about it?
Yay!
You want to go on a date?
What about me?
I'm sorry, Oakheart Dryads.
No, you're so close, though.
I'm
better than Oakheart Dryads. You'll be a lot happier to see me than Oakheart Dryads at your door.
Oh, Eidolon of Blossoms?
It's me.
Is that you?
It's me.
I'm really happy to see you.
Yeah.
You're pretty cool. And finally, Triton Cavalry. I'm sorry, but I'm not looking for a bunch of men and their seahorses.
Holy shit.
Well.
That was good.
But first, if I'm going to go on a date with any of you, you got to know who I am. Let's just be clear about how hungry I am and how much I like to eat sheep.
Oh, gluttonous cyclops. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
You guys,
ravenous Blayla?
This picture is super gruesome.
A lot of sheep died that day.
Shoveling sheep into his mouth.
Well, what do you want him to eat?
And look like he's like dropping some of them?
Tofu creatures? Come on.
Yes, I want him to just find some nice little tofu creatures and eat those. Hmm. All right. Well,
that's the dating game.
What's the dating game, you guys?
Ladies and gentlemen,
I hope you learned something about
gluttonous cyclops and then.
But let's be
tower
clear.
Tower Archer, they gonna fuck all night.
No, let's be clear. I pick Eidolon of Blossoms. I was mistaken. I would definitely pick Eidolon of Blossoms.
I think the Tower Archer's into some weird shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Being all hexproof.
Hexproof and reach. Well, who needs hexproof?
Reach, if you know what I mean. My girlfriend totally is reach.
Yeah,
let's make that a thing. Let's make that a thing guys say. Never mind.
Okay. Anyways.
I think guys have enough things to say.
Well, that's another episode in the books for Magic the Amateuring.
It sure has been an episode.
Yeah.
It's been the hottest episode we've ever recorded.
Yeah, even probably. Though... We're recording from the bottom of Lake Michigan.
It's still the hottest ever.
Yeah.
It's like a,
which is where I live, because we're in my attic.
Right, and I'm a starfish.
Yeah.
But like I said at the top of the show, be sure to check out magicallyamateuring.com. Check out our new comedy web series, My Roommate is a Planeswalker. We'd love for you to watch it.
Yay, we really
I think
would.
It's real fun. Yeah, and you can also, of course, listen to our episodes every week. You can get them by going to iTunes or Stitcher on your smartphone/internet computer. Or you can get them on mtgcast.com, themeatery.org. Any of the above.
Pretty soon you'll be able to download them directly through the Magic Online client.
Don't get your hopes up, anybody. What?
Are you listening, Worth? Ever. Worth, do you hear that?
Yeah, as soon as that feature comes out, we'll be there.
We will be there.
When it comes out.
That would be so awesome. Speaking of Magic
Once
Online.
Once voice chat is in there, I'm just going to play people episodes over voice chat.
You'll be
amazing.
So annoyed.
Amazing. Perfect.
I'm horny_unicorny. Stop by and say hi. If I'm drafting, I might sort of ignore your message, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean.
I am ice cream socialist. Even if I'm drafting, I will say hi.
Megan's a nice one. And Ben's middle schooler, you know, if he's ever on.
Yep. I'm the middle of the road in terms of niceness.
Uh-huh.
Challenge me to a game of Momir, and I will accept and play you unless I'm doing anything else.
God. All right, guys, follow us on Twitter. We'd love to have you there at MTAcast. Tell us what you love about the show. Tell us what you hate about the show. We love feedback.
Yeah, ma'am.
Yeah.
We had a Dear Abby this week. We'll get to some Dear Abbies next week.
Okay.
That we have had recently.
Okay, because it's just too damn hot. Because
it's real important.
It's just too damn hot.
It really
to do
is
it
very
right
hot,
now.
You guys. We can't keep talking because we're melting.
The smell of the noob that's dead rotting in the corner is really getting
And yet we can't stop talking. Because our vocal cords are so hot, they're vibrating, turning into a plasma.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.